sitting down, stand-ups, sitting down, stand-ups, sitting down, stand-ups, sit down, stand-ups. Welcome to Sit Down Stand-Ups. I'm John DeCause.
I'm Tim Banker.
And
why are we here, John?
Oh, we're going to talk to stand-ups.
That's right. And we're going to find out things that we didn't know before.
Right. Probably some things that we did know.
And some things that we never
Nobody really wanted to know.
Exactly. Perfect. And we have a special guest. And not this isn't just a special guest, but a guy you and I have been with for 35 years.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long ride, 35 plus. Mr. Mike Toomey.
Mike Toomey is here today.
There's nothing that I'll say that you don't already know, I don't think.
Oh, no.
I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah. We've done it
before. And it's so funny because, and you know, we're talking to Mike Toomey. Mike Toomey can be seen every morning on WGN TV, part of the morning show. He's been on HBO. You were at the Aspen Comedy Festival. You've opened for many people. In 35 years, you just happened to start comedy with the three of us, with all of us. Mm-hmm. So, but here's what I want to talk about. Let's go jump right into this right off the bat. The WGN Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on there 5 years, going on 6 years?
Well, 15 if you count the first time I started.
No, but I'm talking about paid.
Every day?
Yeah, every day.
Paid 10 years.
Okay.
Because I was occasional, or I was... A contributor, mm-hmm. then I was a part-timer, mm-hmm. and then I was a full-timer. So full-time, 4 or 5.
And you swept once in a while. You swept
still
the floors, right?
Still sweeps.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. So people can see you every morning on WGN, and I know what it took to get to that point. So go back to how that even came about for your opportunity to be on WGN.
I went on the show a couple times as a guest, you know, promoting shows. And then one time I went on, and they had just hired this new producer, Jeff Hoover,
mm-hmm.
and I had never met him before.
Right.
And when they booked me, he wasn't working there yet, but when I showed up, he was now employed there. So I get there, and you know, we started talking, and after I did my segment, I said, you know, I watch this show, and I have ideas. So he's like, well, send them in. So I sent in an idea that had me in it,
mm-hmm.
and then it worked. So and then I sent in another idea that had me in it, and then I just kept doing that. And the first thing I did was a Halloween piece, so that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Then I submitted a Thanksgiving piece, then a Christmas piece, then a New Year's piece, you know, then a you know, whatever, Valentine's
Day. Right, so you were timely and topical.
Yeah, I just kept doing it. And then pretty soon they started coming to me saying, what have you got for St. Patrick's Day? Mm-hmm. What have you got for Easter? What have you got for opening day? And that first year that I was doing this stuff is where a lot of the characters that I do on the show were born, you know, that first year.
So you're, at that point, you're not getting paid, correct?
The first 2 years, no.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, no, I was going to say, some of my favorite characters, the leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
God, yeah.
Born that year.
With the Ben Zobrist beard.
yes.
Yeah.
And... The Halloween character, what's it? I always forget his name.
Greg the Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. So, how great is that? Those were the first things you've done that you had done on the show.
All within that first cycle year.
Right. You know? And they've come back year after year.
Some of them go away. Some of them went away, but a lot of those are still, I'm still doing them.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing these characters, your first couple of years that you're involved with this, at what point do you go, hey, this could be a long-term thing. I hope they hire me full-time. Did you ever have that in the back of your head?
Yeah. I mean, like, if anyone said, what's your goal out of all this? I would say to be there every day.
Okay.
You know?
It wasn't Bozo tickets, ultimately?
We just got ours today, by the way.
Very nice.
They just
very
came nice. In. My mom. They told me we got them, so there you go. But no, it was all just thrown against the wall, and, you know, if it sticks, it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them I just thought would be one time.
Right.
And then, hey, do that. Let's do that character again. And then
right.
15 well, years later, still doing
forget
it.
Forget your Mike Toomey, though. How cool is it to walk into the WGN?
Every day it's cool.
Every
day,
is it?
Every day it's cool.
Yeah. Yep. It's not like...
not to glance to the left and look at that Bozo studio. It's
right.
Like, God, that's where I never got to go.
Or where Bozo dressed. I got to go.
Yeah, well, the Bozo dressing room is really cool because... when I have to change for something, I make sure I do it there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that I can say...
how great is that?
I'm getting suited up in the bosom.
And I've, you know, I've said this before, and you know, a really cool situation that you had happen on WGN was you were a huge, huge fan of Batman growing up, so you have an opportunity to do a bit with oh my God,
Adam West.
Yeah. So you're in the Batmobile with Adam West.
Yeah, they brought a Batmobile in that day, and they had him sign it. So we were just kind of hanging around that car. But here's the thing: that was also in the first year, because it was in spring of 04.
Okay,
when I started, the first thing I did was fall of 03. So it was like, okay, we're rolling, we're kicking, and this is when the bits were, you know, the new bits and the new ideas were cranking out. Adam West is going to be on the show. Oh, we got to do this. All right. And you don't stop and think, what if he's a jerk? Like, what if he's... And I didn't realize it until I had a costume on, and I'm about to walk right in front of him wearing the costume. Like, what if he's a jerk?
Like, what if he's bad?
Like, I don't even think of that.
What if he's a nice guy and just hates this?
Right. Could be that, too. But fortunately, he wasn't. Like, nice. I came out and had this, like, certificate, you know... I'd like to present you this certificate for impersonating me all these years on television. You're a master thespian. And he's like, thanks, I hope I got it right. but then, maybe he's being nice for the camera. Then the cameras were off, go to break, and he goes, you know, you've really got that bat speak down, don't you?
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, signed a picture for me.
I remember telling you at the time, what a moment. Because here's a show that you grew up loving. Could you ever imagine if somebody would have told you when you were 7 years old, hey, I'm just letting you know, in the future, you're going to be sitting in a Batmobile with, you know, Adam West.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that goes with WGN, too, because we grew up with that.
Yeah.
And now you're working there. You're there every day.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And probably one of my favorite moments, it's a Batman moment.
Yes.
You were in the Batman costume. Mm-hmm. And Larry Potash made reference to your gloves.
I saved that. I put it on YouTube. The costume was so mishmash. I have a pretty good one now.
Yeah.
That looks more like the one from the... But before, it was like softball pants, like a sweatshirt with a glued on, you know, and a mask from the like hooded mask that you buy at a, you know, costume shop.
Right.
And I didn't have gloves, so I just wore... like the leather gloves, driving gloves or whatever. And, you know, far away. You see. So I forget what I was doing. And then he goes, thanks for being here, Cape Crusader. And we shake hands. And he goes, I didn't realize Batman wore isotopes. And it got me so off guard that, you know, we were all, like, laughing.
Right? Everyone laughed for quite a few moments.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
All right, so... Batman, what other memorable moments, you know, not necessarily characters that you did, but being on GN Morning News, and you were like, oh my God, this is happening.
Well, I had just the one big moment that I wasn't there for was when Tom Hanks was there.
Okay.
But, you know, and that's, of course...
We could talk for a while about places you haven't been.
That's the first one I didn't do. No, cool. I mean, there have been a lot of, you know, Barbara Eden was there.
Wow.
I met Barbara Eden.
Yeah.
Richard Roundtree, got my picture taken with Richard Roundtree. You know, Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon.
Yes.
Did he gave you some advice, didn't
he? Yeah, it was a really funny story.
Go ahead.
Well, the story's funny without Kevin Cronin. It was like when I was in high school, this girl needed a ride home, and I kind of liked her. And I'm like, okay, we're rolling. Mm-hmm. I was driving her home, and REO Speedwagon's on WLS AM. The songs Roll With The Changes. So I'm just trying to make conversation with her. And I go, yeah, you know, it's so funny. I listened to this album so many times. Every time I hear Roll With The Changes, I think Time For Me To Fly is going to come on right after.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, yeah. That song reminds me of my boyfriend. I went, wah, wah, like I wanted to go into Gleason. Get out! Get out! You know, the rest of the ride to her house in silence, which is really like another 2 minutes to go, but it felt like, you know. And, so Kevin Cronin is there, and I told him the story, and he laughed. He goes, I'm sorry I didn't make it happen for you. Or, you know, he said something else, but I'm not going to say what he said exactly.
Right.
He that he did his best to make something.
Love that story.
Get out!
That's
song reminds me of my boyfriend.
So when did you become full-time? 2013? 2012?
Yes. Labor Day weekend of 2013.
And when did the autograph seekers start coming in?
Oh, my God. Way before that. You want to hear something super funny?
Yeah.
When we, for our first year of comedy, when we did the Comedy Cottage in Rosemont in 1982, I remember, because you were a part of this, you and I both got knighted on the same night.
Correct.
You know, Jay, the manager, you guys are regulars now. You're paid regular. After that night, I remember, this is so stupid and so embarrassing. I went to Woodfield the next day.
Okay.
I thought people were going to recognize me. The room fills, holds like 120 people. And I'm just kind of walking around, going, I'm just waiting for this to happen. Somebody's going to be like,
right.
You were really funny at the Comedy Cottage.
You got knighted. You got knighted.
Well, we did our open mics the first time together.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time both of us performed was when we got knighted, quote unquote.
Right,
so,
right.
Which means we could get paid.
Right.
That
the big bucks.
Yeah, $2 a show.
We saved it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to 1982. Mm-hmm. Who gets you there? Who gets you to Comedy Cottage? Who even starts you to even think about doing stand-up?
Well, I wanted to do that since I was a kid.
Okay.
Like, you know, when you watch Carol Burnett or whatever those shows are, if they had a comedian on or you know, Midnight Special or Don Kirshner's Rock Concert when they'd have, like, a comedian, that was it. I didn't care about the musical performers so much as I knew if David Brenner was going to be on or John Biner.
Right.
I loved the guys that did the impressions, Rich Little and stuff. So I just knew I wanted to do that. You know, when we had the Stan Freberg record that I would memorize and repeat. And so in high school, it's like, I'm not going away to school. I'm gonna be a comedian. So it's just something I always wanted to do. But there was a guy a year older than me who was already as interested in comedy as me, John Midas. John Midas, who was already doing it. And I'm like, well, this can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a year ahead of me, and he started doing the clubs as an 18-year-old. And then when I graduated, I talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, why don't you come out with me a few times?
Nice.
So I would go out with him on the Sunday open mic or new talent nights and watch. And until I finally got up the courage to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So he followed pretty much the same path, just a year sooner.
You guys went to school together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Who was who introduced you the first time you were on stage?
I want to say Ed Merrill.
Yes, it was.
Eddie Merrill.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Eddie Merrill.
You know, it's funny. Eddie Merrill, if people don't know, just big jovial guy. The best way I can describe Eddie Merrill is in the Christmas Carol, The Ghost of Christmas Present.
That guy. Right, right.
Yes, that's good.
So that when I went up in the first night, did really well, and the audience is, you know, cheering, and I'm like, this is all right. And I get off stage, and Ed, like, sarcastically went, hey, Mike, sometimes you bum. You know, like, haha, right?
Right, right.
Well, then, fast forward, like a month later when we're regulars,
right, right.
And it was like, I remember it was just a really cold night. It was like a Wednesday or Thursday, and there's like, you know, 30 people. And I go up, just eat it, just bomb. For one of the first times when I really, really got it handed to me. And then I walk off stage, and Ed Merrill goes, hey, said Mike, sometimes you bomb. Same line, same delivery, same everything, but this time it wasn't facetious. It was dead on. You just ate it.
Well, we're not going to talk about bombing anymore. When we come back, we'll talk about a few more of your successes, TV and Me,
yes.
And some other things. John, we're going to take a break. And,
perfect.
We'll do this.
We'll be back right after this.
Northwest Carpet Cleaning.
Dad, you're going to be really happy to hear this. I'm moving out of the house and getting a place of my own.
Well, that's great, son. I think it's about time we had the talk.
The talk?
Yes, son, when a man strikes out on his own, he's going to need to have his carpet cleaned. And you can't give your heart to the first company that comes along. You need to go with the best. Call Northwest Carpet Cleaning.
Will they take good care of me, Dad?
Oh, yes, son. Northwest Carpet Cleaning takes good care of their loyal customers. And they use the tender, loving care your carpets need and deserve. They make them look and smell great, all for one great price.
Dad, will they still take care of me? You know, if I have a spot or stain?
Oh, spotted stains are where they really shine. They give you a special treatment, especially your carpets, when they're at their worst.
You know, I'm going to give Northwest Carpet Cleaning a call today.
I'm glad, son. I hope you'll be as happy as your mom and I. We have been at Northwest Carpet Cleaning since 2002.
Good talk, Dad.
Get the best. Call Northwest. 847-255-6110. Call now.
We're back on Sit Down Stand-Ups. John DeCaus.
Tim Benker with Mike Toomey, who I've lived in your shadow for 37 years. No, we started doing comedy on the exact same night. It was January 26, 1982. The Washington Redskins won the Super Bowl earlier that day.
Really?
Yes, I remember that.
Wow.
And it was very cold out. I remember that as well.
Did they have John Riggins?
I think so.
Okay.
But you've come a long way since then. Tell us about your little baby. I call it your little baby because TV and Me is just it's quite a project.
Okay. Where to begin? Let's see. The humble beginnings of this show. When I started doing stand-up at 18, you don't have the area of commonality with the audience. You know, they're adults. They're, you know, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s,
right.
And you're a kid. I have nothing to share with them. So what the common denominator there was television. So, and I loved TV, and I could do the voices of characters. Mm-hmm. So that was my act, you know? And then as I got older, matured as a person, I had more life experiences to share. So my act got away from that and got more into my life, which is what most stand-ups are anyway. Mm-hmm. And audiences were changing too. Audiences were coming in that were younger than me that maybe didn't know what I was talking about. But that was still like what I loved performing the most. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't want to stop doing this material.
Right.
But it's obviously not fit for clubs 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I was doing kind of hybrid, you know, of that, and then I just said, well, how about writing a show that is nothing but that, and then people will only come if that's what they like, you know, and
right.
You're eliminating the people who are too young for it or don't care for it.
And you also kind of expanded your audience, you know, with cable TV and people being able to stream things, kids who might you may have not seen things like
well, I think
Welcome
all
Back, Cotter.
Our kids know what that stuff is.
Right,
because
right.
we were watching it, and
right.
they saw it with us over
exactly.
our shoulders, you know. I mean,
and I remember when Mike approached me, we were at the Funny Bone in Naperville, and you wanted to do this on a Sunday night, and I was the sound, your sound guy, on a mini disc or something.
Yeah, mini disc. it was a mini disc player, you're right.
Yeah, and with no images. Now we have images, you know. But what I like about that is it gave you an opportunity to continue to do that stuff and add on to that as it, you know, as the show progressed.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Right.
From the get-go, and also the fact that we have been able to do this for the last 20 years, and it supplements our income at all different times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so
and it's just
fun
to do, too.
Yeah.
You know, it was the night before Thanksgiving of 97.
Yes.
It was the first night.
Yeah.
And now there's a big screen, you know, in the back that is like a thought bubble. But before, it was just all sound and, you know.
It was just all sound. And as a matter of fact, do you remember how the bits were chosen?
Yes. This is weird, and it makes no sense in retrospect. It was an interesting thing to try. We would bring somebody up from the audience and say, you're the guy with the remote control, and we had sheets of all the shows. And then he would say, well, what do you want to watch now? And then he would say, he'd point to a show on there.
How great is that?
It was.
It was kind of cool that it went that way, but it didn't build. I mean, you have the ability to build it the way you want it to build.
Correct.
Yeah, I think we found that it turned out to be, we were now up to the mercy of the individual,
right.
And they may not pick the right ones.
I want to hear Barney Fife again.
Yeah. Right, you know. Or the shows that are the strongest, the ones that most people like, well, they're going to say it right away.
Right.
That's my favorite, do that, where it might be something you'd want to save toward the third quarter.
It's funny, I remember that night because it was sold out. It was jammed. Of course, it was the night before Thanksgiving. But I remember it went over so well.
Yeah.
And I'm in the booth. And Mike comes back. You came back to the booth. You're like, oh, my God. And we were both like, well, we did not anticipate this.
Yeah.
We did not expect that.
Right.
And then it took off from there, you know.
But we did it at the Bone for Sundays for a long time.
For Sunday for a long time. For a long time. So still doing that today, which is kind of fun.
What is your favorite, aside from Batman, your favorite impression from TV and
from
Batman?
That show?
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind right now? I might, if you ask me a half hour from now, I might say, oh yeah, I forgot this one. But Richard Dawson from Family Feud.
Yeah.
God, yes.
It's fun to do.
Yes.
Because it just, I can draw it out as long as I want because the idea is that maybe Richard had a few too many to drink when he was in the show. So, you know, what someday you might understand him more perfectly, say, top five answers are on the board, and then another day you might be hearing people say, top five answers are on the board. Name a reason. And then there's some voices in the show that like may have started as a whole bit, and it wasn't that strong, so it shrunk down to like one line, which is what we do at the end, you know, do a little picture line, picture line, right. picture line. Like Raymond Burr is one of my like favorite TV personalities ever, and I've seen every episode of all 9 seasons, and I always wanted so much to have a long Perry Mason bit, but unfortunately, it never really happened, but one or two lines is good, you know, isn't it true that you murdered your brother-in-law with a spatula? And isn't it true that potato salad spoils in the sun? You know, like that. That's it. That of a long piece. Maybe that's the funniest part. So that's all you keep.
Right.
You know, I want to just change direction a little bit, because when we started out, I would say about 2 years in, we would all perform together many times. Mm-hmm. Tim Banker and myself and you, and we had about 20 minutes of material, max.
Yeah,
you always had more material than us. Always. You could do two different sets.
I peaked early.
Yeah.
Trying to remember the last time I wrote a good piece.
But here's my question. It's a legitimate question, because any comic that is listening to this, everybody has a different way that they go about writing. Mm-hmm. Do you actually write it down, or do you... what's your process?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but it used to be like... you'd be driving or sitting or doing something, you go, oh my God, that's funny, and maybe write a word or two down. And then every time you go on stage, take those words and talk about it and work it out on stage. I never sat down, and I know you, Tim, I know you write differently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't write words word for word.
Same.
And I know you
write
John more like me, where we just get the idea, put the words, and then work it out up there. Each time you do it, they fall in, the tumblers click more.
Mm-hmm.
But with you, the words are so important.
Yes.
And it's you just find, would you agree, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we all position words to make sentences. You do them eloquently.
Yes, there's no question about it.
Don't waste them. That's the Carlin influence.
Right.
When I listen to his albums, he was always like, this guy wastes no words.
Right.
You know, and he's big on synonyms, you know, and it's almost like, how many different ways can you say the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like a huge writing tool. Like,
right. But where you're succinct, sometimes... If it calls for it, you can iron it out.
Right.
Meaning that you could take it to the next level, to the next level, to the next. And like you said, you're saying the same thing, but just in a different
Don't
way.
Don't give up on a bit. Remember when we worked with Mike McDonald?
Yep.
Who is now gone, deceased.
Yes.
He said something really. He was a comedian from Canada, and he was my wake up call in the business.
Mm-hmm.
He got to one point where I thought I was really good, and then I worked with Mike, and I said, "No, I'm not there."
You know, that's we both worked on New Year's Eve at the firm,
funny firm,
and I remember I had the same feeling. He just like, "Oh my God, I'm not good."
Yep, I was feeling like a big shot, and then I'm like, "Okay, let's see what this guy's got," you know, and he just like. Destroyed the first night. So I'm like, I'm never going to go home early because I have to watch this guy every night. But the advice that he gave was, he said, it's like watering your plants. He said, these are your bits, but you know, they can still grow. You know, he's like, you don't ever close the door on it, because he did this is to tell you what year we worked with him. He did 20 minutes on Fatal Attraction.
Yep.
And it wasn't like, stop talking about Fatal Attraction. You're like, doubled over, because he kept coming up with more and more and more jokes just about
That's
one
great.
Movie.
I remember him saying specifically, it's like you just bookend it. You keep adding and making that bookend wider on the same little bit. And yeah, it's funny that sticks with you, because it sticks with me. That's so weird. We never talked about it.
Glenn Close pops up and he's like, what is she, Jason now? Because he had this head bobbing, exasperated. What is she, Jason now?
So good.
And I give you credit. I mean, because John and I agree, you're a prolific writer.
Oh.
And you're still humble enough to take advice and look at others and make yourself better. And I think that's one of the keys to your success.
Huge, to me, the most fun and like most enjoyable process in this is when we're just sitting around like this and you watch somebody and you say, hey, you know, when you say this, how about if you say this? And you're giving them something from their own bit from another angle that they never... And they're
Correct.
Like, oh my God, that fits perfectly.
Correct.
I can't tell you how many times people have done that for me.
Right.
You know, where they say... You know, one time, you remember this, Kevin Naughton's brother. Kevin Naughton's a comedian that we
know.
His brother came to see TV Me. And he came up to me and he goes, hey, Mike, Kevin's brother. And we talked. And he told me a bit. And I'm like, yeah. It's a bit where I said, William Conrad... getting pitched the idea of Jake and the Fat Man, and his manager shows up at his house and says, we've got a show just for you. It's got you written all over it. It's called Jake and the Fat Man. That to me was the joke. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin's brother said, well, why don't you have William Conrad say, which one am I, after that? And I'm like, that's the punchline. I did a joke without a punchline.
Right.
And
right.
They took a guy in the audience to say, here's your punchline. And get, you know, so you never close the door to have people, you know, and many times you let people give you horrible stuff.
Oh, right. Agreed.
But you know what? You can use it or not.
That's right.
But if
that's
you close the door, you're never going to get
that's
those.
That's a great policy great lines on your part.
When you look back 35 years, can you believe that you are still doing this?
Yeah, no. You know what I mean? Like, if you had asked us when we were teenagers, are you still going to be doing this 30? Damn right I am.
That's right.
I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to, sky's the limit.
That's
top
right.
of the world.
I'm going to get a 30-year contract with NBC like Bob Hope.
Right. But thinking as a person in his 50s, I'd be like, well, probably not.
Right.
Probably not. Because you see a lot of people fall off.
Oh, very much
we've
so.
Seen, how many guys have we seen come and go and disappear? Some guys that were actually funny, and they're not doing it anymore.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Well, Mike, even though we've known you forever, mm-hmm. I think we're going to find out some things about you. We're going to go. We have a few questions for you.
Yeah, this is how we'll end it. It's our Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
So why don't I take the first
are
five?
We on a timer?
The next five.
Are we on a timer?
Nope.
Like tick, 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 tick.
Nope.
Oh, okay, that would
nope.
be fun.
I'll buzz you, though.
So here we go.
Okay.
Ready? Most talented staff, and by talented, we mean hottest.
Comedy Cafe Milwaukee.
Okay.
Wow.
I love it when they don't even think about it.
You know, I said I was going to buzz you, but ding, 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 ding. That was a great answer.
Yeah.
Single most influential comic.
George Carlin.
Very good. Very good. I would have assumed that, actually. Yeah. So, person who everybody thinks is funny, but you don't.
Oh.
The list is too long, huh?
We all have those. I don't want to. Because then I'm...
Well, no. Go to, for famous people.
Grapes.
Go for famous people, though. I mean, people beyond, you know,
and you can
TV.
Go back 30 years.
Right.
That I just don't get. I mean, I guess it's generational. Like, there are some people in our zone that I'm not going to still working on, I guess.
Right,
say.
Of course.
Because then they just say, well, you're just...
Because it's me.
It's not you. It's Tim. No, it's not. No, it's not.
That's good.
I'd have to think about that. I don't know. Because it's all, like, I can find something in everybody and say, I understand where that's coming from.
Right.
The people who... who I really, really think aren't funny, maybe I would think people would agree.
It was weird. Just so you know, Tim said you. Hottest room ever. Hottest room ever.
Funny Firm in the late 80s.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That was a powerhouse.
And Comedy Cafe Milwaukee was up there too.
I was going to say, that was really good.
Both talented staff and hot.
Right, right.
Who doesn't want to work there?
Wow.
That's right. The hotness doesn't end there.
Nicest celebrity you've opened for.
Wayne Newton.
Oh, that's
super
right.
Nice guy. Because we're all family around here. That's what he said. Can we get anything for? Because we're all family around here.
Did he hug you after that? That sounded like a precursor to hugging.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? He was on the WGN Morning News many years later. 25 years after I opened for him, he was on the show.
Oh, really?
And I went up to him and I said, you know, I opened for you 25 years ago. And he said, you're not old enough to have opened for me 25 years ago.
On the opposite end of that, the biggest, what do we have, the biggest ass you've ever opened
right.
for?
Tim Allen.
Okay, yeah.
He was not, I mean, maybe he's a nice guy, but he was just not really cool.
He had a bad day.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Now,
but he may be a nice person. I'm
right.
I'm just saying he wasn't nice to me when we were.
We'll give him a 50-50 shot on that. But if you don't like him, then I hate him.
I have a funny same story here. About somebody open for, though. Is this going to cut into the time?
No, go ahead.
Don't worry about it.
Bobby Vinton?
Yeah.
Super nice.
Right.
Unbelievably nice. But his manager, the biggest jerk. Did I tell you the story before?
Please share it.
I do remember you too.
His
yeah.
manager, this is the typical good cop, bad cop. Bobby Vinton could have been nicer, but his manager was this tough New York-looking guy, you know. And we get there, and the manager wants to meet me. He's real gruff. And the people from the theater brought me up to him. And I was wearing like a sport coat, kind of dress pants and a dress shirt. And he comes up and does the eyeball up and down on me. And he goes, you're going to wear a suit, right? Without even saying hello or shaking my hand or anything. And I said, well, I was kind of just going to wear what I have on now. He gives me the eyeball again and he goes, all right. No Pollock jokes, no F word.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I was only like 22 at the time, but I still knew not to do Polish jokes
correct.
At a Bobby Vinton concert.
Okay, venue that's still on your bucket list.
I don't know. I guess it would be a. I don't know. Do you guys have that?
Yeah.
What was?
I think I said Chicago Theater, just because it's a cool joint.
Yeah, I forgot what I said. What did I say?
I think you said the Tivoli in Downers Grove.
I think I said the Tivoli.
Did you do it?
I think I said the Rau dressing room.
I want to do the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake, but not the theater, like a stage on the stage.
Right.
Ooh, that would be a... That's weird.
All right, so you're not going to answer this one either. Worst comic you've ever seen.
I wouldn't say his name, but I know who it is. I think I could... I don't know if I saw him. If you walked in here, I would identify him, but I just remember it was at the Illinois Valley Super Bowl in Peru. This is probably 10 years ago. And this guy went up in front of me, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, where's the hidden camera? Where's Alan Funt? It's just like, we put a guy up who isn't even a comedian just to see what would happen. I don't even remember if that's Alan Funt sounded like.
Honestly.
I'm Alan Funt. Die. Is that what he sounds like?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
exactly.
Good. It's good.
We stuck a pitchfork in this guy's eye just to see what he would do. The results are hilarious. Okay, stop.
I breathed in. Right. Okay, oddest thing that ever happened while you were on stage.
There's got to be something. Can I go back to that one? Because I know there's weird things that are.
All right, when you're on next time. The worst condo.
Lansing, Michigan.
Okay.
It was a condo. It was a house. It was a.
Yep.
Were we in that condo?
Yes. Second floor. Somebody owned it.
Yeah, it was weird. Oh, that was a different one.
That was a different
one. Yeah, somebody lived downstairs.
Yeah.
I was in one in Boston one time. It was before cell phones. And you had to live upstairs. And this old guy lived downstairs. So if somebody called, they would have to call. And this guy would answer. And he would yell up, saying, Mike! Like, it was this guy's routine every week. He would have to learn your name so he could scream your name up the stairs so he could come down and get it.
And finally, I'm gonna change this one up a little bit. You can't say George Carlin because we know of your respect for him.
Yes.
But if there's another comic that you could bring back from the dead and work with, who would that be?
Stan Freeberg. You mentioned him earlier.
Oh, good call. Good call.
That would be fun.
Very good.
Pick his brain because when I made the CD, I wanted it to be like his because that's the one I listened to all the time. He had sketches and he had like fun little songs and stuff, and it was all kind of mixed together. And to me, that was like so much fun. So I said, when I make an album, it's going to be like his.
Very hopefully. Good. And the last question, can you do an Alan Funt impression?
We stuck a flat iron on this guy's face with the cameras running. Watch what happens.
It's a little Murray from...
Murray from, yeah. From Mary Tyler Moore.
Right, yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, man, could you look... Are my sideburns big enough today, man?
Oh, well, WGN Morning News, every single day you can see Mike Toomey, stand-up comedy clubs across the country, TV and Me, your one-person multimedia show. Good job, man.
Thanks.
Great job.
Yes,
congratulations, and thank you for doing this. I know
come on, you guys. You know. You guys mean the world to me.
All right. We're going to turn the recorder on this time.
Wait a minute. We finally finds out that the recorder was not running. It's not even somebody, but it's not Alan Funt, whatever it is. The recorder.
Another sit-down stand-ups in the books. Mike, again, thank you very much. John, we'll see you next time.
See you, Tim.